Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. I want to welcome those who might have turned on the radio this morning and you and our congregation. We had 10 up here and 11 if we count Gunner, but we won't count him. But that was wonderful. So good to see all the kids here. And just a word about our new pastor. Maybe not all of you know Eric Frecking, but he is the conference evangelist for the state of Indiana, and he's been down at Madison now for 12 years, and he's ready for a change, and he's delighted to come up here to Shelbyville and Irvington Church. And he's been here before because he did an evangelism, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago. I don't know how long ago it was, but 2012, so 8 years ago, right? I can do that math. That's simple enough. Anyway, he's excited to come. I haven't talked to him, but we've texted on the phone. And anyway, the conference will introduce him on September the 19th up there at Irvington. So I wanted to talk to you today about the Ten Commandments. Now, some have a view that the Ten Commandments have been done away with. They were nailed to the cross, so to speak, that we are no longer under any obligation to keep the Ten Commandments anymore. Well, I want to reason with you today how that can't be. It just can't be. And Jesus, I want to continue on with the with his discourse at the Mount of Olives, the Sermon on the Mount. So that will be our basis for a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. But on Mount Sinai, amongst the fire and the thunder, it was Jesus who gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. The mountain shook at the very presence of the Lord. Now, that's a Jesus that we're not familiar with, but that was the case. The Israelites, they bowed on the ground and listened. Listened to the principles of the law. And what a tremendous contrast that was from the Mount of Olives, where Jesus, under the summer sky and the birds singing, he also unfolded the principles of the kingdom. The law given upon Mount Sinai was the principle of love. Now, sometimes we don't think that, but it is. This was the revelation to earth of the law of heaven. We don't think that also sometimes, but it's the law governing heaven. God had revealed the purpose of the law when he declared to Israel, and this is from Exodus chapter 22, verse 31. This is the purpose of it. You shall be holy men to me. Israel had not recognized the spiritual nature of the law, of the Ten Commandments. Their professed obedience was but an observance of forms and ceremonies. And that's not what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted a surrendered heart. He said he was tired of their sacrifices, of the animals. He wanted them. He wanted their hearts. He didn't say that at the Mount of Olives, though. The Jewish leaders now there, they didn't understand this. And the Jewish leaders were there at the Mount of Olives. They felt he drew too lightly upon the requirements of the law. They were looking only at the external, and they accused him of seeking to overthrow the law. Now, at the Mount of Olives, there were spies and the vast throngs of people, and they listened to hear Jesus repeat the lifeless traditions of the rabbis, and that didn't happen. Jesus had spoken calmly but with power, and that stirred the hearts of the people. They were hearing things they'd never heard before. The Pharisees noted a vast difference between the manner of instruction and then that of Jesus, of their instruction and what Jesus said. They felt he was tearing down the wall that had been so flattering to them and their exclusiveness, and they couldn't permit that to happen. They had themselves up pretty high on a pedestal. And they had people bowing down to them in the streets and things like that, and they liked that. And Jesus was not perpetuating that for them. They followed Jesus with determined hostility. They were hoping to find something to secure his condemnation and death. The Pharisees spread about that his teachings were in opposition to what God had given on Mount Sinai. And Jesus said nothing of the kind. Every ray of light that Moses had communicated to his people was received from Jesus. Jesus, in unmistakable language, reveals his attitude towards the Ten Commandments. And he said this, and this is in Matthew 5, verse 17, and that's again at the discourse of the Mount of Olives. He said this, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Now, he said that knowing that there were spies in the audience listening to what he was saying, and he wasn't saying the things that they wanted him to say, and he specifically addressed that issue because they knew, they thought that he was coming to destroy the Ten Commandments, to take them down. And that's not what he said. He specifically laid that out. And that's also a message to us today, too. He is the creator of man, the giver of the law. Jesus declared that it is not his purpose to set aside the Ten Commandments. Now, like I said earlier, some Christians do believe that they've been set aside. They were nailed to the cross. We're no one under any more obligation to keep the Ten Commandments. We're now under a state of grace. Everything in nature, from the smallest to the largest, is under law. From the smallest, from the atom to the largest planets, it's all governed by the law. God set in place. I mean, the Hubble telescope, as it looks out into space and it sees more and more galaxies, billions of galaxies out there, they all spin in a circle and they all have a certain symmetry to them. Everything is in order. It's not chaos out there. You know, Jesus is a God of order, and it's all under his governing control. There has to be rules. Everything in nature depends on these laws and obedience to the laws that God sets out. And so it is with the Ten Commandments. There are great principles of righteousness, and that's what the Ten Commandments are. It's a guide the life of intelligent beings. You know, we're free-willed creatures. There has to be some rule, some standard of conduct so we can all live in peace and harmony. And you see what happens when there isn't. I mean, turn the TV on now. The conformity to these principles, the well-being of the universe depends. Before the earth was called into existence, God's law existed. Angels are governed by its principles. In order for earth to be in harmony with heaven, man must also obey the divine statutes. Matthew 6:10, Jesus said, again on the mount, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's our scripture. The law of God given to his created beings is the will of God. That's his will. That's his desire. And Jesus said in the prayer, how to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The principles of the law are the principles of heaven. Now, some of what I say is from the book, the Blessings from the Mount of Blessings from the Mount, right? Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings. Thank you. And Mrs. White has this to say in there. The angels of heaven attain to no higher knowledge than to know the will of God. Isn't that something? The angels of heaven attain to no higher knowledge than to know the will of God. And to do his will is the highest service they can engage in. Isn't that amazing? In heaven, service is not rendered in a spirit of legality. When Satan rebelled against the law of God, the thought that there was a law came to the angels almost as an awakening. Isn't that amazing? They had no thought. They were perfectly happy in heaven. No issues. Everybody's happy. And the thought that there was a law had never crossed their minds. They thought, a law? What are you talking about? Well, Satan was more than happy to explain to them they are under certain rules. It had never occurred to them before that there were rules, because they operated in their relationship with God out of love. It never came across their minds. This was an awakening to something unthought of. In their ministry, the angels are not as servants, but as sons and daughters. Obedience to them was no drudgery. Love for God makes their service a joy. Wouldn't that be nice if that's the way we felt all the time, is no drudgery? You know, sometimes the things that we need to do for church conflict with what we need to do at home, or we think we need to do, or we want to do. It's time, you know. I know I struggle with it. Now I can think of all the stuff's got to be done, and that I've got to do this too. Well, Psalms 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. You know, as we grow closer to the Lord, the Ten Commandments don't seem the burden that maybe you thought they might have been. Actually, it makes life better. A Baptist pastor, I know I've said this before, said, oh, you're under the law, because I was doing some sign work for him. It surprised me. I didn't know he was going to say that, because I told him that something about Sabbath. Saturday came up, and I said, well, I'm Seventh-day Adventist, go to church on Saturday. And he said, oh, you're under the law. Like it was some burden, it was some awful thing to be under the law. Well, what I'm trying to say to you is all of creation is under God's law. I mean, we have to be governed by something. Doesn't it make sense? Are we just going to be freewheeling preachers? So, you see, this is what I'm trying to say, that this stuff doesn't make sense to say that the commandments are done away with. Now, speaking of the law, Jesus says that I have not come to destroy but to fulfill. Now, what does he mean by fulfill? Here he used the word fulfill in the same sense as when he declared to John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. He says, when John was questioning Jesus, he says that you should be the one baptizing me, not me baptizing you. John was questioning that. And Jesus said, permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, that is to fill up the measure of the law's requirements. Jesus gave an example of perfect conformity to the will of God. To fill up means to live up to the completeness of the commandments. And we're nowhere near that. Because on the Discourse of the Mount of Olives, Jesus explain the Ten Commandments all out. It's a way of life. It's a conduct. It's not just the ten rules. Jesus spoke and lived the spiritual nature of the laws. And this is what the Pharisees didn't get. They didn't understand that. They had not applied the Ten Commandments to their lives in a way that it was spiritual in nature. They missed that. They liked going around. And not only that, they made more laws and more laws and more laws. The Talmud, the book of laws in the Jewish religion, is there's something like over 5,000 laws. And it's just craziness. But they liked going around being able to point out, you know, when people didn't do these certain things on the book of Talmud. They took the law and they just went nuts with it. And they made it their job to sit on the throne and point out that you're not keeping what they say is the law. All right, so Jesus made it plain the eternal obligations and its far-reaching principles. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus declared that not the smallest iota should pass from the law till all things should be accomplished. Now, that is all. What is all things should be accomplished? That is all things concerning the human race, all that relates to the plan of redemption. He does not teach that the law is ever to be annulled, to be done away with. But he fixes the eye, now think of his audience there, he's speaking. He fixes his eye on the outermost edge of man's horizon and ensures us until that point is reached, the law retains its authority so that none may suppose that it was his mission to abolish the law. So as far as these people could understand at that point in time there on the Mount of Olives, he's saying, get out clear to the end of the age, the end of the world, the law is still in effect. That was the point he was trying to make. But it goes on. It doesn't end there. But he was trying to explain it so they understood that. So long as heaven and earth continue, the holy principles, the holy purpose of God's law will remain. Because the law of God is perfect and therefore changeless. Now, let me just stop here a minute again, make a point. Because the law of God is perfect and therefore changeless. Now, if you have something that's perfect, can you make it better? No. If you have something that's perfect, anything that you do to tamper with that is going to what? It's going to degrade it. It won't be perfect. Perfect is perfect. Because the law is perfect, the way God gave it, and I'm talking about the King James Bible, that's the gold standard. I'm not talking about some Bible some churches come up with who have changed the Ten Commandments, but because the law is perfect, it is changeless. It cannot be changed without making it what? Worse? Yeah, you're messing around with something God has set there. You know, when God makes something, he makes it perfect, doesn't he? He doesn't need our help to make it better. To think that we have the gall to change something that God set up and make it better is crazy. So, let me start over again. Because the law of God is perfect, and therefore, because of that reason, it is changeless, it is impossible for sinless men in themselves to meet the standards of the requirement. This is why we need Jesus as our Redeemer. It was his mission by making men partakers of the divine nature. How did he do that? By dying on the cross. He brought us to the foot of the cross. We can become partakers of his divine nature. This brings men into harmony with the principles of the law of heaven. The legal religion is insufficient to bring the soul into harmony with God. Make sense? Paul says in Romans 3, verse 31, God forbid, yes, we establish the law. Do we then make void the law through faith? No, of course not. That's what some religions have tried to do. make void the law through their faith. We're saved by faith. We don't need the new covenant promise is, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. How did Jesus do that? By dying on the cross, by living the perfect example for us, a life of love and putting others first. The system of types which pointed to Christ as the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world, that was to pass away. The ceremonial laws were so called nailed to the cross, they were done away with, but not the Ten Commandments. There's a difference. There's a difference between the ceremonial laws, the ones that Moses wrote and put in the side of the commandment, and the ones that God wrote on a tablet of stone and put in the middle of the Ark of the Ark of the Testament. Okay, so this is the conclusion. This is the wrap up of what I want you to understand here today. The principle of righteousness embodied in the Ten Commandments are as unchangeable as the eternal throne. Not one command has been done away with. Not one jot or a tittle has been changed. A jot or a tittle is the two smallest marks in the Hebrew language. It's a little mark, a little dot and a little mark there. Not even that has been changed. If men were free to depart from the Lord's requirements and set up a standard of duty for themselves, it would be a variety of standards to suit the different minds. Understand that? Makes sense, right? You see that in the different religions, whether it's Christian or Muslim or anything else. I mean, you know, they have different standards. But by doing this, God's will would be set aside and man's will would be set in its place. By doing away with, by changing and tinkering with the Ten Commandments, you're putting in man's will instead of God's will. The principles that were made known to Adam in paradise are known as the great law of life and will continue unchanged into paradise restored. When Eden shall be on earth again, God's law of love will be obeyed. And I'll close with this scripture here from Psalms 119 and verse 152. This testifies to the permanence of the commandments. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. That was David saying that. He's known from old that thou hast founded them forever. It's hard to argue with that, isn't it? Well, I hope that gives you some understanding and some way of rationalizing in your mind when somebody says, well, the commandments were done away with. It makes sense that they can't be done away with. We have to apply them to our heart like the angels did and live by that. Then we can all be free-willed creatures. It just makes sense to me anyway. I hope that does to you too. So, if that's it, thank you.